We're here this evening with Bob Nave, a Cincinnati music collegist, if you will, and former organist for the fabulous Lemon Pipers from years ago. And Bob also did his show, The Bop Connection, here on VXU for 21 years. Has still out there playing gigs. You may have seen him in the Blues Merchants and recently with Rhythm Jones here in town. So welcome, Bob.
Well, thank you very much, Stuart. It's good to be here.
We're here tonight to talk about the Mack Fest, which is a tribute to Lonnie Mack, which is put together by Play It Forward, which Bob is going to address momentarily, and will be at the Madison Theater April the 21st at 8 p.m. And Bob, tell us about Play It Forward and the Mack Fest, if you would.
Play It Forward is a 501(c) charitable organization. It is the brainchild of one Gary Burbank. About 10 years ago, Gary came to the realization that musicians, and we're not talking about the cummerbund and tutu set, we're talking about the folks that are out playing music in restaurants and bars and taverns and are eking out a living or trying to, performing their craft. Most of those folks were unable to afford any kind of health insurance. So the idea was to create a fund so if a musician got hurt, got sick, wasn't able to play, that there would be an organization that would stand behind that person and donate money to that person to get them through that hard time. So over the course of 10 years or so we've been together, we have been able to do that for the most part. Our funds sometimes are quite limited, and periodically we have to have events to raise money for the organization, and this is one of them. So the net proceeds of this event will go to Play It Forward to help our cause.
All right, and we're going to have an evening of celebration recognizing Lonnie Mack's career and hopefully generate money for such a good cause. Let's talk about Lonnie Mack a little bit.
Sure. I can tell you that I first heard Lonnie, I was eating dinner in the dining hall at Sims Hall at my university, and I heard this instrumental version of Memphis on the radio that they had playing in the dining hall, and I thought, this is incredible. Who's this? And I found out it was a guy named Lonnie Mack. The name sounded familiar, so I started asking around, and it turns out he was a local area guitarist. He was from the Aurora, Indiana area. And I found out where he was playing, and we got a group of guys together and found somebody had a car we thought would make it there and back. And we went down to hear him play, and he was just an incredible player. And he played an unusual-looking guitar. It was a Gibson Flying V. And I'd never seen one of those before. Well, actually, I had seen one because there was a guy in Dayton by the name of Robert Ward who played a Flying V guitar through a magnetone, and that was the same rig that Lonnie had. So I'm making an assumption that that's where Lonnie got the concept, but it had a totally different sound than anything I'd ever heard before.
Yeah, that Flying V guitar is really something special and would fall into the area of priceless simply because of its provenance and Lonnie's ownership. The original Flying Vs were made of Carina wood, and they were in kind of a pale tan-colored wood with the grain showing through, and Lonnie found that to be a little bit plain and decided to paint it purple one day. And he lived with the purple color for a couple of years and grew weary of it and had the guitar refinished at Glenn Hughes Music in Norwood, and they took the finish off and put it in the classic red finish that is the Gibson SG color.
Yeah, SG standard.
And Lonnie wanted a twang bar on the whammy bar on that guitar, and the whammy bar must bolt into the guitar in order to make it work properly. And because of the shape of the Flying V, where the Bigsby tailpiece would bolt on, there was no wood there because it's a sort of an arrow, if you will. So Glenn Hughes took a piece of metal and bent it to make like a brace and stuck that up in that wedge and bolted the Bigsby tailpiece onto there. Now, at the time I was playing with Lonnie, Gibson contacted him, and this is when their factory was in Nashville, and they asked him to bring his guitar in so that they could micro-measure everything about that guitar. And I actually rode down with him. We spent the day down there and drove back. And they just said, we need the guitar for one day, and they did. And I don't know how many, it was a limited edition of Gibson Flying V's, the Lonnie Mack version. And if you look at that guitar, it has that bracket in there that Glenn Hughes put in there in Norwood many years ago, and they're also the red color, which was not a standard Flying V color at the time. And as a gift to Lonnie, they said, if you'll let us measure your guitar and have it for a day to make these models, we'll give you one. So they gave Lonnie one, and he was not particularly impressed with it, which didn't surprise me because he loved that guitar so much. And he had it for a while, and I think eventually let it go. You know, the Flying V is the only guitar that anyone would associate with. We played a little Epiphone acoustic, but nothing fancy or particularly great sounding or anything. Just something that he ended up with. But I don't know where that guitar is right now. One of the things about Lonnie's sound, which was based on that magnetone amplifier, was that Fender amplifiers, and to the best of my knowledge, all manufactured amplifiers in the U.S., the tremolo was created by a variance in the volume. And the magnetone was a kind of a two-track situation, and they would overlap. They would make the tone go kind of sharp and flat and make it wobble in a way that we really hadn't heard, which was very cool.
It's almost like a Doppler effect, very mm-hmm. similar to a Leslie, if you're familiar with a Leslie speaker cabinet that are used with Hammond organs. But the actual tremolo circuit in the first magnetones, they were ST organ tremolo circuit. That's what it was. But what's really, I think, important is we only had the big hit with Memphis, and he had some other minor hits, and he recorded several albums. But there's so many guitar players that learn so much from him, and there's so many guitar players that rever him. I mean, he was just an incredible player. Unfortunately, anybody deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's Lonnie Mack, and he's not in there yet.
Of course, one of his great admirers was none other than Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the two of them played together on many occasions. I've seen Lonnie on stage with Stevie at the River Bend, and they did Lonnie's return album, if you will, called Strike Lightning featured
right.
Stevie Ray on it. And Lonnie's, the flip side of the 45 of Memphis was Wham. And Stevie Ray had Scuttlebutton, I think, which is what he called it, which was like Wham reconstituted, if you will. And the two of them used to play Wham and Scuttlebutton together. Mm-hmm. And nobody paid greater homage to Lonnie Mack than did Stevie. He worshipped Lonnie.
Eric Clapton always had nice things to say about Lonnie, how much he appreciated Lonnie's work. I mean, there are just so many guitar players standing on Lonnie's shoulders. And, you know, it's unfortunate that Lonnie died. And it's also, I think, somewhat unfortunate that Lonnie died on April 21st of 2016, the same day that Prince died. And, of course, the media was all over Prince. Rolling Stone did pretty much a whole edition on Prince with a paragraph in there about Lonnie, and I just thought it was a travesty.
The time frame of Lonnie's rise was critical. It's critical in looking at the way his career, at the turns that his career took, because Lonnie's guitar playing in 1962 and 1963, I think Memphis was 63, was it not, Bob?
I thought it was 62.
Okay, well, we're right in that time frame. The Beatles played the Ed Sullivan Show in 63, and I think that pretty much sums up what happened to Lonnie's career. The rhythm and blues influence that was so powerful in American popular music at that time and in American rock and roll completely got the heart cut out of it, if you will, by the British invasion.
Yes.
And Lonnie was kind of left hanging in the lurch, if you will, because styles changed, and he was just kind of, like I say, left hanging in the lurch. But what an unbelievable guitarist for his time.
And vocalist,
power vocalist. I was fortunate enough to play bass guitar with Lonnie for 3 years. And I would describe him to people, and still do to this day, that if Lonnie picked up an acoustic, if you've never heard this gentleman, and Lonnie picked up an acoustic guitar and played a song for you and sang it, you'd end up on the floor before it was over. He would absolutely bowl you over with his natural ability to execute playing and singing a tune like that.
And he always had good musicians in his bands.
Unbelievable
Never had a slouch musician.
Yeah. His first album, Wham of the Memphis Man, was recorded in one day. And it is an absolute seminal example of how unbelievably tight and dynamic a horn band can be. They had the gal singers in the background. They had the horn section. They had unbelievable rhythm section. That album still to this day just blows my mind.
It's one of my favorites.
Let's get back to our April 21st, which actually is the one-year anniversary of Lonnie's
death.
Tell us what kind of entertainment will be at the Madison Theater.
We are going to have a group of guitar players each doing their interpretations of some of Lonnie's tunes. Featured will be Sonny Moorman, Scotty Bratcher, Johnny Fink, Wayne Bullock, I don't know what Wayne's going to do, because Wayne was Lonnie's organ player for a while and also played bass with Lonnie. Junior Spivey will be there, Greg Schauber, Bob Herman, and Brian Tarter. Tickets, by the way, are on sale. You can purchase tickets in advance, or if you want to stop by the Madison Theater box office there on Madison Road or Madison Avenue in Covington.
Will the arrangement there will be like a backup band will take the stage and
right.
play?
Yep. Our executive director, Tom Caper, another excellent guitarist, has arranged for a rhythm section, and they'll have charts, and they'll be getting together and run over beginnings and endings of tunes the day of concert. Lonnie's music, most of it, it's pretty simple, but it's the soulfulness that made it happen. Lonnie was just a very soulful cat. So these guys are going to play Lonnie's tunes, and it's just being able to hear his music, and it should be a wonderful evening. I just hope that the Madison is big enough to hold the crowd.
Bob, thanks for sharing your stories and the information about the Mac Fest. That will be April 21st at the Madison Theater. And this is Stuart Holman for Around Cincinnati.